The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Sixers Talk. I am Kevin Rice alongside Ben Barry. Danny Pommels is still on his exotic vacation. We don't know where. He won't tell us because we're not invited. But we got a lot to talk about Sixers-wise. Two easy wins, I'll say, against subpar teams in the Magic and the Hornets. But it's what the Sixers needed to do. You need to beat up on those bad teams. But the main story, I'd say, of these two games, especially against the Hornets, was probably Ben's favorite player, Tobias Harris. And I don't know, I texted him last night when Tobias was having a very, very phenomenal game and said he's so lucky, Tobias is so lucky he's playing well when it's just me and Ben on the pod because Danny's not here to be the contrarian to our negative Tobias takes. But Ben, what's going on?
You know, I've been very tough on Tobias. It's been well-deserved. He had a solid 24 points last night. He was decisive for 7-3. He had 3 blocks, 4 steals, 2 decent dunks in the first half. Bleep, might have both been in the first quarter. He played well, and it'd be nice if we can get that consistently game from Tobias. But he played well. He shut me up for one more night. We all know how harsh I can be on Tobias. I would like to see that from him when Joel Embiid is not in the game or doesn't. When he sits for a game or when Ben Simmons sits. Because the other night when Joel didn't play and they got work, the Sixers only got 17 from Tobias. I think they need at least 25 from Tobias when Joel or Ben doesn't play. But he was decisive. It was straightforward. That's what everyone was hoping when Doc Rivers came into town. They thought we'd get the Clippers Tobias Harris, and that's what we got last night.
Yeah, and Doc – preached on having Tobias dribble less. In the first, I think, 2 or 3 games, he was still dribbling a decent amount, and it was a little eye clawing. And then the last game, especially against the Hornets, he caught the ball, he shot the ball, and he made the ball. And that's all you need him to do. You don't need him to overcomplicate anything on the court. We know he's a great shooter. He showed it in his Clipper days. Last year at Sixers, had a little bit of a dip, had a really rough start. But that is very hopeful from Tobias that this last couple games, he's just been quick decisions, not trying to do anything out of his range. He's just catching, shooting, making simple passes to other players. And it's also, as you said, a testament to Joel Embiid of just how easy he makes it for other players around him, that he takes pressure off Tobias, whereas if Joel is not in the game or not playing, then Tobias has a lot more pressure on him and defenses can angle in on him a little bit more. But Tobias now being that kind of clear third, maybe fourth, if you want to include Seth Curry in there, but that 3 or 4 option on the team suits him extremely well, regardless of contract. That's just there now. Like, I can't get mad at it anymore.
Just stuck with it.
It's just there. Like, if you can have him be a productive player, then that's perfect for me.
Do you look into anything that, to the fact that Tobias played a lot with the second team yesterday? I know there was no Mike Scott, Furkan, a sideline. So Doc played him a lot with the second unit. The Hornets, they only had one healthy center, Bismack, so it didn't hurt that Tobias was such a – playing the four so much. Like, am I looking too much into that, or is it aberration?
I think that was just kind of a result of the circumstances. Just I was more focused on just him hitting open shots and shooting quickly off of catches. But, again, it's like the Hornets. So even the first team with the Hornets isn't the most – dominant team on either end. Like, he had PJ Washington on, who's a good defender. He's smart, very had a not great game, which is unfortunate because I really want him to succeed. But I looked at it more of, this is a bad team. The Sixers should win this game. How are they gonna react to poor defense, because last year especially and the years before this, we've seen them play down to opponents' levels. And that has not happened the last two games, which feels like a changing in the winds. Like, I would have bet unlimited amount of money the Magic would have beat the Sixers on the New Year's Eve, just because it's such a loss. And it was like, I checked my phone. I didn't get to watch the game live, but I checked my phone, and it was, they were up 30. And I was like, oh my God, okay. And then I was like, all right, well, they're definitely due against the Hornets for a bad loss to a bad team then. And no, again. So it feels a bit like a change in the winds, which is a good thing. But I didn't notice as much him playing with the second unit. So what did you see there?
I saw the 18 without Mike Scott, without Furkan, just add a little bit of offense and just maybe still trying to figure out the entire rotation. I liked it. But again, we'll get to this a little later. It was against the Hornets. It's not like they're a upper echelon team in the East. So I don't think it's going to be – I wouldn't bet and say this is what it's going to be moving forward. I like the results. I like what I saw. He was decisive. I do wonder, like, would he be as decisive if Ben and Joel was in the game? But he was with the second units. I got to be thankful for what I got.
And we're on small sample size still. We're still six games into the season for the Sixers. So
5-1.
5-1.
Best record in the league with the Suns.
Team in the East. So a lot can still change, and they're still obviously growing as a team. We've seen off Tobias real quick. We've seen Joel and Seth Curry start to get chemistry together. Every time Joel touched the ball yesterday, it seemed like he was looking immediately for Curry, which is something that he did with Redick a lot in Redick's seasons here. And it's a little bit different with Seth Curry because J.J. Redick was obviously more of just a shooter of if Joel Embiid got him a minuscule amount of space off of a screen or a dribble handoff, J.J. Redick would rise up and shoot. Whereas Seth Curry can still do that to an extent and is a very, very good three-point shooter, but he can also attack off the dribble. So Joel and Curry kind of learning where each other want to be, where each other are, and then also how Curry wants to attack off of the dribble handoff is something that I also noticed in the Hornets game especially, and something I'm going to look for in the next, how many games are there? 68 games, 67 games?
66.
Going to keep going down.
You would have gotten there sooner or later.
But Tobias is also fitting into that, like working into the how they want to use him on offense. Defense, you mentioned it, the steals and blocks, but he was also just very solid on the ball and didn't fall asleep a lot off the ball, which I noticed too, which he did struggle with against the Raptors a decent amount. He was not locked in when the ball was not right in front of him. I didn't see anything egregious from him last night, which is perfect. So if that Tobias Harris is not going to be every single night. He's not going to shoot 5-7 from three, have 4 steals, 3 blocks, and put up good numbers for you every night. That's not realistic. But that's a good sign of if that's what his or near what his ceiling is for this team, then that's a very good complimentary piece.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tis the season to thrill at the Nissan year-end sales event. Get in, then get out and experience the most riveting ride of the year in a brand new Nissan. These savings on Nissan's lineup are sure to raise your pulse.
And yes, we mentioned it earlier, but the Sixers against bad teams. And it's been a little weird because usually the bad teams don't start in the top five of the East, but the Magic and the Cavs are both in the top five right now. But traditionally, they're not as good as where they are in the standings currently. But we've seen it years past, Sixers playing down to the levels of their opponents. They let teams hang around too long. They let teams take the lead in late in games and always have to sweat it out. They can't rest Joel. They can't rest Ben. It's always just kind of on with the Sixers. And this has been a year already, six games in, where it seems like things are changing a little bit. So, Ben, I've noticed that they've obviously had a little bit of growing pains early on, young season. But overall, it looks like they're handling these quote-unquote bad teams better. And I know you had some stats on that too. So what did you see?
I'm seeing a team that's taking care of business. You mentioned in the last segment, the Magic game. Not a trap game, but it's the game that Sixers would typically lose New Year's Eve against a bad team. Mm-hmm. Then last night, I'm happy with where things are going. Like, it's nice to watch a game where it's not coming down to the end of the fourth quarter. It's like, are they going to pull this out against a team that they're completely better than? But against the Hornets, they shot 16 of 45 from beyond the arc. That's 45%. Like, that's nice from a team that really struggled from beyond the arc last year.
And it seemed like the Magic missed a three for the first two quarters. It seemed like everything was up and in.
Against the Magic, they were 15 of 33 and 10 of 17 in the first half. Mm-hmm. They're putting games away early against these bad teams, which is so nice. Last year and before, when people said they were one of the upper echelon teams in the East, it was hard for me to believe because the best teams don't struggle with the worst teams in the conference night after night. I know it's once in a while to be the aberration. You lose to a dismantled Wizards team, or you lose the teams out in the West lose to the Mavs before Luka and Porzingis got there or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that you have to worry about night in and night out. And that's not happening anymore. Against the Hornets, the Sixers had 35 assists on 47 made field goals. And it wasn't like all those assists came from Ben. Even though Ben had 11, Seth, each of the starters at least had four, I believe. Mm-hmm. Seth, Danny Green, Ben, and Tobias. Like, the ball is being moved around a lot.
And I think they had six players in double figures, and Tyrese was at nine, I think he ended with. So that's spread the wealth.
They spread the wealth. The ball is moving around. It's not sticking. No one's pounding it into the ground. I like what I'm seeing from that aspect. Another thing I like, Doc said when he got the job that he wants them to play fast. And so when the defense is working, they push the ball. And it was a question, are you going to be able to push the ball with Joel Embiid? But they push the ball down court, whether Joel is in the game or not. That's leading to open threes, easy transition buckets, and mismatches on offense. Those are the positives I've seen so far, whether they're playing bad teams or not.
Mm-hmm. And playing fast also, even Joel can't play as fast. He can't run the fast break every single time. Like you said, those mismatches come even if they settle it down in the half court. And with those mismatches, the Hornets and any other team really then loses the ability to double Joel as comfortably because they might not have the personnel they want to double with. And then Joel has been better with double teams already this year, is passing better. And then the Sixers ball movement, superb so far. So Ron, something I didn't see coming into the season was Joel benefiting in the half court from pushing the ball off your defense, because you're either going to get an open three or likely going to get an open three from someone with Ben pushing it. And if you settle it down, then Joel can operate with mismatches most likely. So, and that's also, I'm going to pinpoint this kind of more comfortable team play to Daryl Morey again, just for creating, for his team building ability of just putting a solid bench in, solid starters and a solid bench in that's not going to have a significant drop off when Joel or Ben are off the court. And that's something I've noticed too, because we've seen the Sixers kind of take leads, take a stranglehold on teams early or even in the third quarter, wherever you want to put it, last couple of years. But then the bench comes in and they just kind of give it up handedly. So the Sixers' ability now to play comfortably with a lead is strange almost. I'm not used to it yet. And I'm still going to be like, nah, this is a game they always lose. They're going to lose this game because that's what they've done to me the last few years. But I'm hopeful that this is not just a spark in the flash in the pan. It's a trend, but they also have some tough games coming up ahead. They have the Heat, I believe, later on, but they have soon the Nets, Nuggets, Brooklyn, and Heat, and then the Heat again. So it's almost, I'm thankful that they had this kind of warm up against these bad teams, because now it's going to start getting into the tougher opponents who know how to attack weaknesses. So what are you going to be looking for in these games?
So something I'm going to be looking for, which is I can't say alarming because it's gone back since Ben's first season playing is the amount of turnovers. They had 22 last night. They had 19 against the Magic. They had 24 against the Cavs. Only 14 against the Raptors. But for a team that you have Ben Simmons, and I know Joel used to turn the ball over a lot in double teams, the amount of turnovers does not make me feel well when you end up playing the upper echelon, the elite teams of the East or the competition in the West. So I would like that to be cut down, especially when they see Denver, Brooklyn, when they have that back-to-back against Miami. That's what I'm going to pay attention to, and is how they defend some of these, like, just superstar players. Like, what are they going to do to slow down Kevin Durant? Because I don't think that's exactly a realistic possibility.
Yeah.
What are you going to do against Miami, which I don't think their best players are better than the Sixers' best players, but they have a well-oiled machine. So, yes, there's some of the things I'm going to look forward to. Cutting down on the amount of turnovers and how do they defend some of these good teams coming up, whether it's KD in the Nets, Jimmy Butler in Miami. What are they going to do against Jokic and Jamal Murray in Denver? Those are the things I'm looking for as they start to play better teams.
And that the biggest matchup, I'd say, in that stretch, the Nets is the biggest test this season, and I think throughout most of the rest of January here. But that's going to be, if the Sixers keep this up, the Nets are extremely, extremely, extremely good, and the Sixers are likely going to face them in the playoffs. And this is going to be a kind of a starting point for how each team is going to attack the other. Because if Kyrie and KD are the biggest weapons, you put Simmons on Kyrie and Joel on KD, like that could work, but that's not foolproof. So this game against the Nets, I would look for, again, the turnovers, how they defend, but also like what the Nets are willing to give up to the Sixers on offense and defense. So I'm, again, glad they got some of their kinks out in the bad team games, but now they're ready to kind of lock in and play these good teams, and I'm going to be very focused on very minute.
Yeah. After Brooklyn, it's Denver. We talked about them playing Denver, Miami. They won't see Ja Morant when they play Memphis, but they have a back-to-back against Boston. And they have the Lakers at the end of the month, so they will be tested. And we will see what this team is made of now that they're playing stiffer competition.
And by the end of January, I think things might shake up a little more evenly, because as of now, the Sixers have beat two of the top three teams in the East, and they're the other team. So I don't know. It's again, hard to tell. It's a weird season. Again, small sample sizes, but I think the stretch in mid-January is going to be extremely, extremely interesting for not a young Sixers team, but a new Sixers team, rather.
Dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. There's a local university that's ready to bring your dreams into reach. It's Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu.
All right, we didn't really touch on it, but we've alluded to the fact that Joel is playing extremely dominant this season. Tobias has been a little bit better than we expected. And our friends at PointsBet are taking a little bit of notice. Our MVP odds for three different Sixers. We have Joel Embiid plus 2,000, Ben Simmons plus 12,500, and Tobias Harris is plus 50,000 to an MVP. But I saw earlier today that Basketball Reference had Tobias as the fifth most likely to win MVP. James Harden was number one. Joel Embiid was number two. So make of it what you will, but if Tobias keeps up his unsustainable play, put that 50,000 down.
Kevin, I love you for even trying to do that with a straight face. The first time you stumbled a little, but when you came back to it, you just started laughing. Like, I say respect. Okay. You got the money to put down on Tobias to try to win? Props to you. To see, you just want to give away money? Like, I'll give you my Venmo and Cash App, though. Ooh, the whole MVP race is really early. It's a toss-up. I don't even think Joel or Ben would get it unless they won 55-plus games. Mm-hmm. And I think Joel have to average like 28-14 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think Joel, again, the odds say it, but I think Joel has easily the best chance on the Sixers to win it. Tobias, there's no, he said I couldn't do it with a straight face because I think the second time I said it out loud, I was like, all right, hold on. I can't even advise people to do that. Put minimal units on Tobias MVP. Please do not break the bank on that one. But if Joel has been the best player on this team by far, and he's going to continue to be the best player. So if he continues to have a fun kind of awakening from these last two seasons, if he keeps playing like this and keeps improving with a good team around him and kind of keeps learning about how he can pass out of doubles, how he can help teammates when he doesn't have the ball, then I think he can kind of work his way up into that conversation, which he wanted to last year and didn't. And I think the defense needs to not step up a little bit, but he's not as loud on defense. I'll say he commands the defense for sure. He's the point man or the point guard on defense. He's a quarterback on defense. But if he keeps playing like this, I think he's at least going to be in the conversation, if not the fringe conversation, which I'm fine with.
Here are the players above Joel right now: Giannis, Luka, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Joker, LeBron James, James Harden, Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry. Steph is tied with Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. but the rest of the guys are less than 2,000.
That's great company to be in.
And it's amazing company to be in. Amazing. So, Joel, keep doing your thing. Maybe step again, what Kevin just said, be louder on defense. But no, that's great company to be in, and you're crushing it.
That is all for Sixers Talk today. Next game against the Hornets on Monday. But I am Kevin Rice alongside Ben Berry. Shout out Danny Pommels in Aruba or Jamaica, wherever you may be. Sixers Talk is presented by Wilmington University. William U. Works. We'll see you next time.